welcome to the Velvet Studio. I'm listening to Sebastian, and today I have a guest. Introduce yourself.
I'm Christine.
I know your name. I mean, I'm just saying, you know. Luke is currently in Nam. He finds it hilarious when I say that. He's in Vietnam with his partner, actually. So it's going to be me running the board today, and you've already heard a couple flubs, but that's fine. But anyway, today's topic is weird. And it's one of those things where when I told one of my friends that this would be today's topic, he's like, how are you going to talk about that for a full hour? But it actually turns out to be quite easy, because when you get into the history of it and the legal implications and all that, it actually gets bizarre very fast. Do you know what? You can agree or disagree.
I can definitely agree.
So we're actually talking about the history of buggery laws, or sodomy laws, or laws against anal intercourse between consenting adults. It depends on which era in history you're talking about as to how they're named or how they're framed or whatever. So what is the context behind this? Because from what I understand from Luke, it was partly your idea, or you inspired him anyway to come up with this topic.
I inspired him?
Yeah.
Well, that's news to me.
But anyway, there have been changes recently.
Well, there was changes in 2008 when the age of consent changed from 14 to... Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you. Whoopsies. Sorry.
I'm up here, not down there.
Okay.
Well, there was changes in 2008 in regards to the age of consent. It went from 14 to 16. But there has been lobbying mm-hmm. for the age of consent for anal intercourse to be switched from 18 to 16.
Okay.
So I'm not sure exactly how I inspired him, but
it was probably talks about how enforceable this kind of law is.
It probably came up in topic mm-hmm. at the liaison committee meeting. I'm sure that it came up in talk, but I faded in and out for 10 years, so I probably missed that conversation at one point.
Because you do sit on the Ottawa Police...
I do, yes.
What's the GLBT Police Liaison Committee is the full name?
The OPS GLBT Liaison Committee.
There you go. Which I also sit on as of 3 months ago. Three? Four? I don't know. Not long, but...
No, not long.
Not long. So when I started looking at the history of this... something that I actually found on this really interesting French website, because I ended up... well, I'll get to why I was looking at the French website quite some time ago, but it actually mentions that in the 1200s, the Catholic Church actually did same-sex marriages moderately regularly. So, I don't know if you knew that.
I did not know that, but I also don't speak French and cannot read that, so...
Well, it could also be... because when you're talking about that... portion of history, because this would have been the Renaissance, it's not really the Catholic Church, it's just the church.
Yeah.
This was before all the little divisions. And because it was just the church at that point in time, there would have been regional things going along. So there would have been cardinals who would have accepted it in their regions and other ones who did not. But this is very broad. The first laws that we know of, it was actually introduced in 1533 by Henry VIII. And I did not think that he would have much to do with this, but it actually turns out that he did.
Would never, ever assume that.
It was originally laws against men having sex with other men. And also, it was just against the non-natural sex acts in general. So oral intercourse between a married couple was considered buggery at that time. Because, like, the definitions change over time.
Well, that I can understand.
Yeah.
They're changing every day.
Yeah, absolutely. But later on, it was... The law was revised because it actually contradicted the Magna Carta. So the Magna Carta is basically the first document of human rights that we know of. And it was said to contradict some of the freedoms. And this is the weird part. So after he died and there's all that overturn going on, mm-hmm. Mary, Queen of Scots, was like, that's a stupid law. Get rid of it. you can't police that. And then she was overturned, and then Elizabeth I, also known as the Virgin Queen, she was like, no, no, it's a cool law, because she was all about bringing in Protestantism into, no, was she Catholic? I don't know. Anyway, bringing the church back into the state. And so she put it back in, and then it stayed there for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And it was actually punishable by death. So if you were caught, then it was a punishable act. You could be publicly hanged or pilloried, actually. If they couldn't prove anything, then you were just pilloried. So do you know what pillory is? Okay. That's when it's the giant thing. It's like a
oh, the axe thing?
No, no, no. Well, kind of.
The beheading?
No, it's not a beheading.
Oh.
No, because that's called a beheading.
Oh. Funny.
So usually what people think of as the stocks is actually a pillory. So
okay.
So the stocks is the wooden thing that clamps you down. But the stocks is actually for your feet. So they clamp your feet down on the stocks, and the pillory is when they clamp your,
oh, okay,
your,
yeah, I know,
hands in your head.
I was in one of those ones.
Okay. So if you were accused of buggery, but they couldn't prove anything, you were usually pilloried.
Okay.
And usually just for an afternoon.
Okay.
But if people in the community suspected that it was true, they would just all come down. And it was like, it was a public event. If somebody was in the pillory, they would come around, they would
they
throw
have
things.
At theme parks.
Yeah, they have them at theme parks. Absolutely. Well, yeah, but it was a big deal back then. It wasn't just, you know, well, hey, put your kid in there. It was actually like, no, it was a big deal. It was usually at like crossroads or intersections or at like the entrance to a village or something like that. And
well, I didn't know the name of it, so.
Neither did I until last night. And so it was usually only for about a half day. Sometimes they would leave you in there for a full day or a couple days. But people would come around from all over town to throw things at you. And on occasion, it would turn lethal. People would throw rocks or sticks. Oh. And so it was actually a pretty big deal. And actually being left overnight in the pillory was where the expression having a friend watch your butt came from. Because you're bent over in there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were accused of buggery, then people would come along and have their way with you in the middle of the night.
Oh, boy.
Because you can't even see who they are.
No, you can't.
And the thing is that if you're buggering someone who's in a pillory, it's not considered buggery from the legal perspective because it's a part of their punishment.
Oh, boy.
Right? So, I mean, it's really weird. And all throughout this is another thing worth mentioning. At no point at all in the history of all these laws that we're going to be talking about was it ever illegal for two women to have sex. Okay.
So, I don't think I've ever seen anything.
Yeah, no. It's not out there. If there is, it tends to be modern, and it tends to be in developing nations. So you're not going to see anything about banning same-sex intercourse between women in European history. It's just, it's never really happened,
mm-hmm.
at least on a legal level. Yeah. Maybe on a social level, absolutely, but not on a legal level. And I'm not sure why that is. I mean, it's this really weird thing that kind of got overlooked. And it was actually, and I didn't understand. I was reading it for quite some time and I couldn't understand, but it was Elizabeth I, because originally they were thinking about putting something in there about that.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, no, that's cool. So maybe she wasn't a virgin queen. Wah-ha-ha.
Somebody had a deep and dark secret.
Possibly. The last known public hangings for buggery. By then, it was called the sodomy laws.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually in 1835. So this is moderately.
I read something about
this. This is modern. Like Charles Darwin would have been alive at that time. Actually, I think he was on the Beagle at that time. And it was James Pratt and John Smith. If you want to look it up and read about it.
How original names,
right? Well, James Pratt was also renamed John Pratt in the papers.
Okay.
But the legal document said James Pratt. I don't know why they did that. That's weird. But so yeah, that's fairly recent. Now,
it's not that long ago.
Yeah, I know. Now the
yeah, it took place in England.
Yeah, in England, yeah. And it was, well, okay, that was the last time it was punishable by death.
Yeah, they were hung in November of 1835.
Yeah.
And they were caught
Yeah.
in August of that year.
Mm-hmm. And after that, it was punishable by prison or hard labor. Mm-hmm. So that's the whole thing with Oscar Wilde, because he got caught. And it was, there was actually, now that I think about it, I forgot to take notes about this, but it was actually, it was considered a rich man's habit, because, and there was actually, there was a magistrate at the time who was like, look, I'm as homophobic as the next guy, but let me tell you something, all right? Rich men can get away with this, no problem. If you can afford to get a room somewhere where you know no one's going to peek in on you, mm-hmm. then you can do whatever you want. This is an unenforceable law. It's stupid. It's on the books. We're wasting our calories mm-hmm. trying to enforce this. And James Pratt and John Smith, the reason why they were caught was that they were actually, they were poor.
And they're in a public place.
They weren't even in a public place. Like, it turns out that they were living in a house, I cannot remember what they're called.
Rented a room and a house near Blackfriars Road, Southwark, London.
Yeah, they basically rented a room. I mean, they didn't really have apartments per se back then. They did, but it was anyway. And it was actually the landlord peeking through the keyhole.
Yeah, he ratted him out.
Yeah, so it wasn't even in a public place. So the rich can get away with this because they can afford the kind of place where no one can peek in on them. Hmm. And it was really weird. So Oscar Wilde is a famous case of somebody getting arrested under the sodomy laws that followed after this. But he was actually, at the time, he wasn't even the most famous openly gay satirical author. There's another author. His name is Hector Hugh Munroe, but he wrote under the pen name of Saki, S-A-K-I, if you want to look him up. I actually think he's a little bit funnier than Oscar Wilde and a little bit better of an author, but he's less famous. Because he knew better than to get caught. Everybody knew he was gay. Mm-hmm. And it was sort of an open secret. Nobody cared. The reason why there was a big deal made of Oscar Wilde was because he had sex with the wrong person, basically. He had sex with a Marquise's nephew. And it ended up breaking up a wedding. And there was a whole bunch of stuff going on. And so just to make a point, Oscar Wilde got arrested. And the weird thing, it was actually the Marquis of Queensbury. So Queensbury, you might recognize it from like Queensbury Rules, which is like early boxing. And it actually is that guy. So the guy who invented boxing, who's obsessed with masculinity, his nephew's wedding got busted up because he got caught with a man. And so it was actually the Marquis of Queensbury who like dragged Oscar Wilde through the courts to get him imprisoned and eventually banished to Paris.
That's interesting.
I know, it was really weird, like all these threads crossing each other. There's actually references of this on Mike Tyson Mysteries. I don't know if you've seen that show.
No, I haven't.
I watch a lot of animated series, and I really like animated series. Mike Tyson Mysteries is exactly what it sounds like. It's kind of like imagine Scooby-Doo but with Mike Tyson. Okay. And it's actually voiced by Mike Tyson, and he goes around solving mysteries, usually just by punching them. And then with him, he has a talking pigeon, the ghost of the Marquis of Queensbury, and an adoptive Korean daughter. And they're constantly making references to the Marquis of Queensbury's past. So because the Marquis of Queensbury is a boxer, the boxer, and it was basically like he came back from the dead to guide Tyson through life. And then, on the other hand, they're making gay jokes all the time.
He didn't make some wise life decisions then.
And he's voiced by the same guy who played the Dean on Community as well.
I don't think I've ever seen that show.
Oh, okay. Anyway, like, Mike Tyson Mysteries is actually a hilarious show. Anyway.
I'm going to have to... Is it on Netflix?
It is. On Netflix. Season 1 and 2. And it's on an 11-minute format as well. So you can fly through this first season in no time.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Thanks for ruining my weekend.
Oh, and the talking pigeon is voiced by Norm Macdonald. So you know he's got politically correct things to say.
Oh my god.
Anyway,
so you can text me this weekend and ask what I'm doing, and I'll be watching Mike Tyson Mysteries.
So that's basically the history of England with regards to this, but France has a different history altogether. And I told you about this in the elevator as well.
Yeah.
So the French Revolutionary Penal Code came in 1791. This was after the revolution, and mm-hmm. then after that, Napoleon brought in his own legal system. I cannot remember. It's usually just called Napoleon's Law. Yeah. But At the time, they actually, because they were overhauling everything, they and they had so many philosophers, you could pave the roads with them.
Oh, yeah.
It was France, you know, 1700s. So
they were on every corner.
They were on every corner, blocking up the banks. It was horrible, all these damn philosophers. So they actually got together and they're like, okay, what is a legal system? What makes a good legal system? And one of the things that was very important to them is getting rid of what they called victimless crimes. If consenting adults are doing a thing and no one's getting hurt, then strike it from the legal record.
Leave them alone.
And it was actually at this time that heresy and blasphemy were also no longer punishable crimes. So this was a big deal, a huge overhaul.
That is a big deal, yeah.
Two consenting adults were basically allowed to do whatever they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
They had a whole bunch of, like, a lot of clauses about what did it mean to be consent, what did it mean to be an adult, and it was really weird because,
as does every law.
Well, in the modern context, but this is, like, 1791 that mm-hmm. these came in, and so to even talk about what it means to consent is kind of a big deal at the time. Unfortunately, it was 1791, and women were not people yet, so they didn't really... The concept of consent with women was a little bit more complicated. But when you're married, you become a person again. So it was this weird... Yeah, I know. You're rolling your eyes.
Yeah.
The history of law is anyway. And something that I found interesting. So after Napoleon went all over Europe and basically took everything, a lot of the countries that he invaded ended up either taking Napoleonic law as is...
Mm-hmm.
or taking a modified version of it. And all of the countries that were among the first to get legalized gay marriage are under Napoleonic law.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the little list that I came up with. France, the Netherlands, Belgium, Spain, and Portugal are all also under Napoleonic law. And so is Quebec. Just mm-hmm. Quebec, not the rest of Canada.
Yep.
And then when Spain and Portugal started going to South America, doing their conquistador business... a lot of Latin America is also under a modified version of Napoleonic law, which is why Chile was among one of the first to mm-hmm. legalize marriage, gay marriage. So it's this... Oh, and also Bolivia.
Really?
People forget that Bolivia is even a thing. But Bolivia is considered to be one of the most progressive countries in the world when it comes to LGBTQ rights. For a long time. They actually had...
Then why are they so quiet?
Because they're small. They're small and they're kind of poor because they don't
I'm small, but I got a mighty voice sometimes.
They don't have any natural resources and they don't export much. So they're not as wealthy or as influential as like Colombia or Brazil or something like that. So that's why Bolivia's not really...
Colombia, really?
Yeah. Bauxite. Aluminum.
Yeah.
So we forget about that. You know, they also have minerals there. So yeah. So that's sort of the beginning. After that, we're going to go to a musical break, and then we're going to talk about Canada, which is, I'm sure, what everyone out there actually is what they do care about. Speaking of Canadians, actually, the song that we're going to be playing first is a Canadian musician called Gentleman Reg that every single time for the past year, I guess, whenever Luke is like, oh, we need to find a gay Canadian to play on the show. I don't know who to play. I'm always like, well, we've never played Gentleman Reg. And then just in one ear out the other, completely ignores me. We've never played Gentleman Reg before.
I've never heard of Gentleman Reg.
Okay. Have you seen Short Bus?
That was a TV show, wasn't it?
No, it was a movie with Sukhyun Lee.
Oh my God, Much Music.
And it was the same guy who did Hedwig and the Angry Inch. I cannot remember that guy's name, but the guy who
wrote it. Is it on Netflix?
Short Bus? May not be. Anyway, Gentleman Reg is in there. He stands out on account of being an albino. You kind of notice him. He's more of a background character. He has a few speaking lines, but yeah, no, when he's on screen, you're like, whoa, that is a white man. But no, he's an albino. So yes, he is obviously very white.
I'll have to look it up.
Anyway, he's based out of Toronto. He's been making music for like a decade. And yeah, I've been trying to push this. So, ha-ha! In his absence.
Sorry, Luke.
Yeah. All right. So this is We're in a Thunderstorm, and we'll be back right after.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, and welcome back to the Velvet Studio. I tried to play a station ID. These are weird. Sometimes they work, sometimes they do not. That's okay. So, yes.
Luke's not here.
Once again, me playing with the board, and the board wins. Just like when you throw in the random card when you're playing Cards Against Humanity. The random card.
I have never played Cards Against Humanity. I need to buy the game. I need to buy it. I've seen it being played, and some of the things that come out, I'm just completely floored about.
Yeah.
I was working one night, and there was a group of people who were playing it, and they were talking about some very devious sexual acts, and I was floored with some of the cards and them mushing sentences together. I had to walk away at one point. I was just, but I need to buy the game.
Well, there's an optional rule. It's called Rando Calrissian, where you draw a random card from the deck and put it in there.
Oh, boy.
The problem is that it wins 80% of the time.
Oh, boy.
It's hilarious. If you've ever played Cards Against Humanity, I suggest you do this because it's fantastic, especially when you do what are called the haiku challenges, where you have three cards.
Yep.
Because it tends to win, and you don't know how. Anyway.
So can we buy the game, and when Luke comes back, can we play it on air?
He's actually proposed before that we do that. But
it would make for the most interesting conversations.
It would have to be a podcast. We would not be able to, because this is a lunchtime show. Even though we are talking about sodomy, we're talking about it from the legal perspective. So we're being classy and dignified about it. But we would not be able to play Cards Against Humanity on the air. Even Will Wheaton has been hesitant to play Cards Against Humanity. And he has made a career out of playing board games. I don't know if you knew about that.
I did not know about that.
He has a fantastic web show. Oh, what is it called? Tabletop. Tabletop is great. He gets famous geeks on there, and then he just plays board games with them. Some of them are like programmers and video game reviewers, but then he's had other cast members from Star Trek. He's had cast members from Buffy.
Oh my God, he needs The Big Bang Theory.
He has.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to look this up.
Yeah, it's a great show. And then you also learn about board games at the same time. So, anyway, you're learning something as an audience. I hope. Okay.
Oh,
so, Canada, for the longest time, was a province of England. And yes. So we had the same laws as them.
Exactly.
And then 1859, we had our Consolidated Statutes of Canada, which is when Canada first had its own unique legal system.
Yeah.
This was a little bit before Confederation, but not much before Confederation. And the death penalty for buggery was repealed in 1869 in Canada. So 1869, and people were still being hung.
That's really not that long ago.
It really isn't. It's not that long ago. I mean, your great-great-grandparents were probably alive at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's bananas. Anyway,
my great-great-grandmother.
Yeah, two greats, that's what I said.
Did you?
Yeah.
I thought you said great, great, great.
No, just two.
Whatever.
That's okay. So the weird thing is it all came in, it became different with Pierre Trudeau.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually wrote the actual quote here. But anyway, wait, let me collect myself. Right, 1948, there was a revision to the criminal code.
Yes.
But a lot of it was done to make homosexuals. It says, okay, so homosexuality was used to the legal system was used to reframe homosexuality as a criminal sexual psychopath and a dangerous sexual offender. Okay. So, and this was at the same time as McCarthyism and the Cold War.
Yeah.
And it was just anything subversive was considered dangerous. So, I mean, if you were homosexual, you were obviously a communist and you were obviously going to undermine the state. It was just one thing led to another. If you spoke out in public, then you were obviously against the state and therefore a communist and therefore were trying to undermine the system. If you were like a poet or something, you were a creator and you made a career out of doing something avant-garde, then you were against the establishment and you were obviously a communist and were trying to undermine the system. It was a really weird era.
That's a very, very weird era.
But some of the
walk across the street without offending the state.
Basically. But some of the most radical art was made at the time as well. So mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever read Allen Ginsberg, but Howl is an interesting piece of writing.
I'll just have to add it to the list of things I have to do this weekend, starting with Mysteries of Mike Tyson.
Mike Tyson Mysteries. It's not the mystery of him. He solves other people's mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's like, you know, The Curse of the Mummy, but there's one episode where the mystery was somebody was trying to get affordable housing in a suburb of Arizona. Suburb of, what's the capital of Arizona?
Phoenix,
yeah. They're trying to find an affordable house in the suburb of Phoenix. And it was like one of those like house buying episodes with like, oh, this house is a post-Victorian remodel with,
Oh my God.
It was a great show. Anyway, so what we're talking about. Oh, right. 1948. And then Pierre Trudeau came in. He said that was stupid.
Yeah.
Also 1952, the Diagnostic Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, the DSM.
Yeah.
The first one was published in 1952, and homosexuality was considered a personality disorder. And then later on, it was a sexual deviation disorder. And the weird thing was that Freud, most of the DSM-1 is based on Freud's work. But Freud believed that everyone was inherently bisexual, and it was your upbringing that made you heterosexual or homosexual. And the people who wrote the DSM-1 was like, everything Freud says is right, except for this. It was weird. Boy. I know. So Trudeau's famous quote was actually, l'État n'a pas d'affaires dans les chambres à coucher de la nation.
It's not there to police the bedrooms.
Yes.
Yeah.
The state is not there to... Well, it's not... It's the state has no business.
In people's bedrooms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so... Soon after, 1980, well, not soon after, eventually after, Section 159 yes. was added to the criminal code.
Yeah.
I'm going to read it because it's weird, okay?
It's probably one of the weirdest ones in
yeah.
there.
Yeah, when I read it last night, I was like, what am I looking at? Okay, so 159 subsection 1, every person who engages in an act of anal intercourse is guilty of an indictable offense and liable to imprisonment for a term not exceeding 10 years or is guilty of offense punishable on summary conviction. That's the first part. So you made a big deal out of indictable offense and summary conviction. So yeah. For those of us who are not familiar with legal systems, what does that mean?
So it's two completely different laws, obviously.
Okay, so what's an indictable offense?
Indictable offense is the more serious.
Okay.
They're the ones that hold the longer prison terms.
Okay.
Summary convictions are offenses that are less, like there's more, there's less of a jail time, and most of the time end up in resulting in a fine.
Okay. So what's another example of an indictable offense?
Murder. Like
murder. Okay. And another example of a summary conviction?
Theft under $5,000. So you go...
Okay.
Well, it's true. Okay. So like so if under $5,000 is...
If you're a consenting adult...
You go to the store and you steal a sweater.
Okay.
That's $29.99, let's just say.
Okay. So it'll be community service... Or a fine of $200.
Fine,
okay.
Yeah.
So if you're a consenting adult who has...
You're going to get caught in the bedroom with another man. Here,
the
go break
sex.
A lawn?
Well, no, because it says every person. So every person, if you are a person, if you are a human being and you do the bum stuff, then you could either be convicted as a murderer or as a shoplifter.
Pretty much.
Okay, cool. So next part, section 2, is exceptions.
Yes.
Okay. So subsection 1 does not apply to any engaged in private between A, husband and wife, or B, any two persons, each of whom is 18 years of age or more, both of whom consent to the act.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's weird. Okay.
It's very weird. It's very, very weird.
Because what it's interesting because what it says is in section 1, it's like every person ever who has ever walked across the earth and is capable of human language.
Yeah.
If you put it in the butt, you could be charged as if you're a murderer.
Exactly.
Unless you are almost all of humanity. And it's just it's just phrased weird.
But see, the thing is, too, is when you look into the criminal code, the age of consent is 16.
Yeah.
So, any person can engage in a sexual nature with someone who is no more than 5 years their age.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know if you knew that. So, I could be 16 years old, and I can engage with somebody who's 20 years old.
Yeah.
As long as they're not in a position of authority, teacher, lawyer, police officer, whichever, right?
And then if you're under 16, there it gets kind of weird and foggy, but there's, like, if you're 14 and you have sexual contact with a 13-year-old, that's okay, but not a 17-year-old. It's really...
It's very, very weird.
Yeah, it's...
It's very, very weird. And I think with adding consent mm-hmm. into this, mm-hmm. it just makes it a mishmash law.
Yeah.
It's just basically everything thrown together.
Yeah.
Which is really unfortunate because, you know, there's people that aren't going to enforce it.
Yeah.
But
it also means that if you are 2 17-year-old gay boys,
mm-hmm.
or not gay boys, you're just 2 17-year-old curious boys,
mm-hmm.
And you do butt stuff and then you get caught, you could spend a year in juvie and then 9 years in prison as if you murdered someone.
I don't think any judicial system would break it up like that.
No, okay. Well, I know.
I don't even think they could break that up like that. It's either you're tried as an adult or you're tried as a child.
Okay.
Well, take a look at that girl who ran the sex ring.
Okay.
Right? Oh, so she was, 16 years old when it started or something mm-hmm. like that? But they tried her as an adult because she had established the mens rea, and she had established
yeah.
and if anybody doesn't know what mens rea is, it's the ability to basically map out what you're going to do
mm-hmm,
right
mm-hmm.
So she was able to figure out that okay, she needs disposable cell phones, she needs this. She was able to be competent enough, right?
Yeah.
So that's the mishy-mash.
It's really peculiar, but it also, because as you say, the age of consent is usually 16, so mm-hmm. it means there's something special and different about this, okay? And then idem, let's see.
The subsection three, yeah.
Well, idem just means like
yeah, yeah.
a note. But anyway, an act shall be deemed not to have been engaged in private if it is engaged in a public space or if more than 2 persons take part or are present.
Oh,
so no threesomes. Even in private? Is that what that means? Even in private, you can't have a threesome? Is that what that means? I literally don't understand this.
Yeah, so if there's more than 2 people and it's engaged in public or in private, sorry,
and there's
you
more
could
than
still be charged with it.
Okay mm-hmm. And a person will be deemed not to consent to an act if the consent is extorted by force, threats, or fear of bodily harm, or is obtained by false and fraudulent misrepresentation representing the nature and quality of the act. Okay, so if you say, you know, just the tip, and then you cram in the whole thing, then that is, you're breaking the law.
Yeah.
And that's fair, because you're lying, and that's not cool.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one is, if the court is satisfied beyond a reasonable doubt that the person could not have consented to the act by reason of mental disability. Nothing in here about, like, consciousness or anything like that, about, like, being competent or of sound mind or anything like that. Like, if you're drunk, then that's not in there. It's just such a weird thing.
But I don't think they need to put that in there just because everybody knows that no means no. And it's always a strong point in sexual assault cases.
Well, legal systems have to be very clear when it comes to this sort of thing. So I guess they would probably just put that under fraudulent misrepresentations or something like that.
I think that would be more like lying
it's
about your
so
age.
So weird. But anyway, the difference between 16 and 18, I actually lived through something like this. So just to share a story with you. When I was 18, I moved to Hong Kong, and I had my first boyfriend when I was living there.
Okay.
And they actually have a sodomy law, which was only struck down in 2006, I found out recently.
Wow.
And so it was 21 was the age of consent for sodomy. 16 was the age of consent for any other kind of sex. And then, oh no, sodomy between men was 21. And then the legal drinking age was 18. Which meant that I was not allowed in gay bars because obviously if you're going to go to a gay bar, you're going to have sex on the bar in front of everyone, obviously. And so it was actually, there was a double standard at the time that the gay bars in Hong Kong, the age of entry was 21 and all the other bars was 18.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, I didn't have a problem with that because I'm 6'2". And a lot of the people that I spoke to when I was in Hong Kong, they tried to guess my age. They would guess anywhere from 16 to 36 because they just, some of them did not know that many white people and we all looked the same to them.
So how old are you really?
Right now?
Yeah.
I'm 36.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, a lot of people don't believe me when I tell them either.
I would have given you like 23.
Yeah, I get that a lot. Actually, I got carded last week, and there, I was buying cider, and they're like, "Can I see some ID?" And it's like, "Oh, you're gonna be embarrassed." And she's like, "Well, I gotta do my job." I was like, "Oh, I know, but you're gonna be embarrassed." And then she looked at it, and she's like, "Oh, oh, it was great." Anyway,
who made this?
So, well, no, it's if you look 25 or under.
I thought it was 30.
Well,
oh, I don't know.
Yeah, because there. I mean, I don't
shop very often.
Yeah,
where I need to be carded. I just.
Yeah, I'm not much of a drink. This it's one of the. You've worked in a bar, that's why.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone I know who used to bartend, they drink way more than anyone else you've ever met, or they're super modest.
Yeah.
They're like, well, I'll have one or two, and it's like. Once a year you get Interstellar, but otherwise you're just like, you have half of one and you're like, okay, I'm done.
That was enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah. It's... I think being through that bar era
and seeing what people look like when you're sober and they're not, there's a whole room of them. Yeah, no.
Yeah. It's,
we could run in a whole episode just on the topic of,
oh, I could go for hours on that.
Former bartenders and what they think about drinking culture. All right, actually, we're going to go to another music break while we collect ourselves. This was something that was forwarded to me by Luke from Vietnam. And he's like, play this. And I don't know. I have no reason not to. Also, I like this musician, and it is new, and we're going to support her. This is Ray Spoon with her, well, moderately new song, I Hear Them Calling. And it features in the video a whole bunch of trans and gender non-conforming teenagers.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's sort of a political statement. Ray Spoon is Canadian and from, I'm going to say, Alberta, I believe.
Hmm.
And so this is sort of a commentary on the weird bathroom laws that's been on and off for the past couple of years. It's never been resolved, has it?
No.
Not really.
I don't think so.
Mostly what they've done is they've gotten that one weird senator to shut up. I think that's actually a lot of progress.
Yeah.
That's the best they've been able to pull. Well,
did you see that new video that's circulating on Facebook in regards to the bathroom laws in the States?
No.
I'll show you it when we're on break.
Okay. Okay. So I'm thinking about how this is going to work. Like, what are the logistics of playing a song while a song is playing, and you have a phone.
No, it's not a song though.
Oh,
it's a video.
Oh,
it's a commercial.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
it's good.
All right.
Cool.
Well, we're gonna do that, and then while we're doing that, because you can't play video on radio.
No, I can play it on my phone.
No, I know, but you can't play video on radio because it's just audio.
But I want you to see it.
All right.
Just work with me here, Sebastian. Just work with me here.
All right. So this is "I Hear Them Calling" by Ray Spoon.
I want. I hope that everybody gets a chance to be who and what they are. I just know if I have to pee, I'm going to pee. I don't care where it's going to be.
Hello, we're back. So we have about 10 minutes left, and in the remaining time, I'm going to close this because it's distracting. So these weird laws that we're looking at here, 159, okay, they're being overturned, and you had some comments on that you had earlier. And the other thing that I wanted to talk to you about is how enforceable this law is.
It's not very enforceable. I just
discuss.
Well, just thinking about, like, because I in no way represent law enforcement.
Yeah,
none whatsoever.
Yeah.
I don't represent the legal system. Nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
But realistically, when you think about it, like, times have changed so much
mm-hmm.
that, you know, there's 16-year-old straight couples
yeah.
and 16-year-old lesbian couples
mm-hmm.
and 16-year-old. Gay couples,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't think anybody in their right mind or could deal with their conscience after, you know what I mean?
Mm.
Having to enforce something like that, you know, I'm going to charge you because you love somebody else or
it's one of those things though, that it's still on the books though.
It is.
And the fact that it's still on the books is weird. So, I mean, every city has its own weird bylaws that are from the 1800s that nobody's really thought to remove because, I don't know. Like, I grew up in Burlington, and there's a law in the books that says you're not allowed to drag a dead horse down Brant Street during rush hour. Specifically Brant, specifically between the hours of 4 and 6.
Well, you can't spit in Kanata. It's true! It's true.
So
you can't spit in Canada.
Weird old laws that, you know, they're on the books and they're never going to get enforced because who would do that in the first place? And even if it was done, you'd probably get arrested for something else anyway. Or in the case of these weird sodomy laws, I mean, what I was trying to get you to say is that how do you enforce them anyway? Because here's one of the things, though. Let's say you are two 17-year-olds
mm-hmm.
having sodomy, as they call it, in private. The only way anybody else would know about that is if they were breaking the law by violating your privacy.
Exactly.
And so it's just super bizarre that this exists. Now, as you're saying earlier before we were talking, before the show began, that a lot of this is supposed to be in here to protect children from pedophiles.
Mm-hmm.
But there's other laws for that already.
Yes.
So what there is. What is this?
So it would just be another offense to add to the list, right?
Mm.
So... You know, if you, I'm trying to think, if you got charged with, you know, let's just say there's a pedophile on stand, mm-hmm. right? You could get charged with molestation,
mm-hmm.
obviously,
mm-hmm.
Sexual assault, causing bodily harm,
mm-hmm.
Sexual assault. There's all these different.
Yeah.
And I think it's just, you know, I think it. There particularly to protect males, young males,
mm-hmm.
from being sexually attacked
mm-hmm.
by a pedophile who is a male. That's the reason as to why I think it's in there.
But do we really need an extra offense specifically for sticking it in the butt? Like you caused physical harm and you sexually assaulted somebody without their permission. Do we really need another thing that specifically says, like, you did it in this specific way?
But what if it's a straight boy
who's
attacked by
that's not
a pedophile.
Who,
I know, but I'm trying to think of rational reasons, if you will,
I don't know.
As to why it's in there. But know. You know, but I was just reading this quickly,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah, there's people who are trying to strip this law completely, just 159 completely gone.
Yeah, so.
You're looking for the name, aren't you?
Yeah. Joe Camarton, New Democratic Party MP for Windsor.
Oh.
I don't know that suburb name. Introduced an amendment to the Criminal Code B, Bill C-628. That had its first reading on February 11th. But to be honest with you, I haven't heard anything else about it since. And when you type in into Oh So Wonderful Google, this is the only thing. This is the first thing that actually comes
about
up.
About updates, yeah. And it's really weird that this is still on the books. And it indirectly, inadvertently targets the gay community. And I'm not leaving things out. I'm not saying gay community to mean LGBTQ. It's like this affects men who have sex with men.
Absolutely.
It's a weird thing that targets them.
Absolutely.
Well, actually, maybe not necessarily. Well,
but I think if they're going to implement a law.
If you're a lesbian couple who's 17 and you like butt stuff, this could also affect you. I suppose. What? It could.
No, there was a conversation yesterday. But That's why this came up.
It's designed to target the gay community.
The male community. It should be. It should be taken off. But it's interesting because when you click
on
this...
If some of this just got rolled into the general laws on sexual assault and permission anyway...
Well, that's where it should be.
Yeah. I don't know. It's weird that it's an extra clause and it's... I don't know. I don't know what to do with
But it's
that.
Interesting because when I just clicked on the... Because you can read the full text for the bill. I click on it. It takes you to a parliament website.
Mm-hmm.
And it says document not available.
What? I don't know what, I don't know. Oh, the bill 159? Oh, no, the bill 628.
To take it out.
Oh.
But now it says that the document is not available.
Hmm. I don't know.
So,
well, we're
wherever
gonna...
you are, Joe.
Joe. Oh, yes, Joe, the PM.
Yes.
PM or MPP? What are we talking about here?
He's an MP.
An MP, okay.
Who put it forward to have it stricken.
Because it's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, We're gonna sign off. I chose this song because it made sense. I like to have one or two thematic songs when I put together an episode, and this felt like it was a song that was appropriate.
It touched you.
It touched. Well, I mean, it didn't. With permission, it touched me. Unlike the sun, who touches me without my consent every day. And it's horrible. It's a horrible experience. Anyway.
This week, at least.
I know, right? So, yes. So, this is a cover of a Bruce Cockburn song. It's a Canadian band covering a Canadian band. Not gay artists, but that's fine. They don't always have to be. So, this is...
But they're bare naked.
They're the bare naked ladies. They're the bare naked ladies. And this is a side thing. It wasn't even a chart topper. So, we can play it on...
I love those.
I know.
I love those.
So, thank you for listening to the Velvet Studio. I have been Sebastian.
I have been Christine.
And we'll see you next week.
Don't the hours go shorter as the days go by? Never get to stop and open our eyes. 1 minute you're waiting for the sky to fall, and next you're dazzled by the beauty of it all. Lovers in a dangerous time. Lovers in a dangerous time. These fragile bodies of touch and taste, this fragrant skin, this hair like lace. Spirits open to a thrust of grace. Never a breath you can afford to waste. Lovers in a dangerous time. Lovers in a dangerous time. this time. In a dangerous time.